Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello there. This is Aluna Michaels, esoteric astrologer. And today I'm going to be talking with you about Capricorn and Saturn, and also some other kind of fun facts about Capricorns and Saturn, if there's such a thing as a fun fact about them, but we will find out that there is. Just to say, my website is alunamichaels.com, and you can find out more about me at my website. Okay, so let's start here. Now, Capricorns, I always think that, maybe along with Scorpios, Capricorn gets sort of the toughest rap in astrology. You know, it's true that Capricorn, especially when we talk about the esoteric part of Capricorn, the more spiritual part, I mean, there is a lot of depth to the sign, not that other signs aren't deep, but there's an intensity with Capricorn. And so we're going to talk about why that is, how that is, how to best use that. But let's just go over some qualities of Capricorn. And, okay, so one of the things is that Capricorn is very much about leaders, being a leader and being, not even so much a helper might not be the right word, but there's a sense of mission with Capricorn, to help others, to guide others, and to feel useful and important. Sometimes Capricorns can be seen as, you know, workaholics or something like this. But the spiritual quest for Capricorn is to feel useful, is to feel purposeful. And that's something that, as a Capricorn, you would need to look at in the sense of, you know, because Capricorns can get overly fixed on what their job is, how they're making money or something like this, whereas to develop a sense of spiritual purpose is huge for Capricorn, because that's where you get into that workaholism stuff. As you can never work enough, you can never make enough money, you can never get enough praise from the boss or whatever it is, you know, or with your own company if you're doing that. And if you're just, you know, quote, just a stay-at-home parent or something, it's like, you know, the best ever, and the kids have to, you know, be perfect, and you have to be perfect, and all this kind of stuff, the perfectionism and the pressure that Capricorns put on themselves can be shifted when you look into spiritual growth and say that, and the idea of Capricorn also, and even Saturn, is about evolution, is about slow, steady progress. And one of the things when we talk about esoteric astrology is the evolution of the soul, that the soul is moving through different lifetimes, accumulating information, accumulating karma, which Saturn and Capricorn are also about karma. That can be good karma or tough karma, you know, life lessons kind of things. But it's acquiring knowledge and wisdom, because that's the other big key, especially emphasizing the wisdom of Capricorn. So when you're on that spiritual path and you're looking at the evolution of connecting with your soul, the evolution of expanding your consciousness to be more one with the universe or God or whatever you want to say, and from that standpoint, being able to help and serve and give, you know, and having that, let's say, acknowledgement from the universe, let's say. So instead of seeking acknowledgement, people need to think I'm great, or the boss needs to think I'm the best worker, or my kids need to think I'm the best parent. The idea that, not that, you know, the universe thinks you're the best, but that the universe sees that you are striving, you know, and that's recognized in the sense of your intuition developing, having more inner peace, being more poised with life circumstances. Getting your approval that way, if it could be seen as approval, is a higher way to work with Capricorn or Saturn energy. And let me also stop here to say, you know, because you might be listening to this, and, you know, Capricorn is from roughly December 22nd to January 19th or so, or 20th. But, and that would mean your sun sign's in Capricorn, which definitely means you're Capricorn. But also, you might have your moon sign in Capricorn. You might have Capricorn as your rising sign or ascending sign. You might have the planet Saturn on your rising sign. For instance, you could have Aries rising and have Saturn right on your ascendant and resonate with Capricorn stuff because of your strong Saturn. You could have Saturn at the top of your chart, which is Saturn and Capricorn's house. You could have a bunch of planets in the 10th house of the chart, which is Capricorn's house. You could have Saturn, you know, squaring your sun and moon or something. There's going to bring you a sense of Capricorn or Saturniness. So you got to look at your chart in different ways, and an astrologer can help you see that if that's an emphasis in your chart. So you don't have to be the sun sign of Capricorn. Okay, so this whole sense of purposefulness we'll get into more about the spiritual goals. Okay, and maybe I should just put in here too, when I say goals, it triggered me to say this. I mean, this is what also on the spiritual path a Capricorn person needs to watch out for. In some way, spiritual attainment is an endless striving. You know, it's like the impossible goal of being spiritually perfect and meditating perfectly with no thoughts in your head, and you never lose your temper with your kids, and you do perfect yoga poses and blah, blah, blah. So you could get crazy as a Capricorn or a Saturn person with spiritual goals. And it's like, okay, let's just say, again, getting back to this idea of evolution, that evolution is inevitable. It is a force of nature that's moving through you. And to be able to surrender to the force of evolution and to strive to be more spiritually advanced or spiritually aware, but to allow yourself gentleness in that process. And that's what I think could also be hard if you are on a spiritual path and being relentlessly unforgiving of yourself. You know, I lost my temper, or I didn't meditate enough today, or this sort of thing, keeping tabs on yourself. So I think that a very important quality for Capricorn is to learn self-forgiveness. And to say another big part of Capricorn is integration, and that most of us listening to this aren't monks in a Tibetan monastery, although that would be cool, one's listening, hello. Or you're not, you know, a Carmelite nun who takes a vow of silence and is living in a community and never, you know, integrates into the world in some way. You're in a cloistered community. I don't know exactly what Carmelites do, but, it's, you know, that used to be in the old days that they did. But anyways, way back in the medieval times. But, you know, we're all on spiritual paths in the world. So the chances are here that you are on a spiritual path and doing, like, quote, day job, or you're a parent, or whatever. So you have to allow yourself some slack about those spiritual goals, knowing there is a goal and you work toward it. And to have even smaller goals for yourself is wonderful as a Capricorn. You know, just to meditate at all, just to practice yoga at all, just to know that you're observing yourself with your kids, whether you are perfectly holding your temper and guiding them, you know, 100% perfect, or you're not, you know, you're observing and letting that be, wow, you know, I am doing more than most parents do, or I'm doing more than I did a year ago, and you're being kind to yourself, evaluating your progress. It's because when you set these goals, it's like this is you know, just being okay with eventually you're moving toward that. And, you know, what could I move to do better tomorrow? But really watching that spiritual perfectionism is crucial. And that leads me to Capricorns and their sense of humor. I think that it's real important for Capricorn to develop a sense of humor. I had been taking a class here called Laughter Yoga. I'm down here in Florida temporarily, and they have that, and I said, wow, you know, this is a great thing, and to be using spirituality with humor, with knowing how much humor lifts the spirits, of course, that it the laughing makes your body more healthy, this sort of thing. Capricorns really need to work that in. Now, Capricorns can have a real wicked sense of humor and a real dry sense of humor, but to have humor about not meeting your goal for the day, you know, and how you observe yourself, having just kindness, but also humor. Like, wow, you know, instead of meditating all day, I was tested to see how do I handle life, you know, with the meditation energy I've collected already. And I went out and, you know, and just having some humor about that, whether you did well or you didn't do well. So cultivating this sense of optimism. And what's interesting is I had just was listening to a book on tape because I was doing a lot of driving, and it's called Learned Optimism. There is a, and it's by a guy named Martin Seligman, who actually was one of the people who pioneered the concept of learned helplessness, which is pretty grim and very Capricornian itself, you know, about not being able to escape challenges and what happens to people psychologically when they feel they don't have choice anymore and don't have power in their own lives, that they just give in to difficult circumstances without even trying, even when they're put in a circumstance where they could make a change, they just don't try anymore. That's called learned helplessness. So he got into studying the reverse concept of learned optimism. What are the qualities of people who are optimistic, who feel they can make a difference in the world? And if something is yucky, how they work around that and integrate that information. So Capricorns really need to develop that sense of learned optimism. And a big part of it is that, you know, evolution is inevitable. Oneness with the universe is inevitable. We're all going to get there. And it's how do I get there making myself feel that I'm making progress, yet also I'm integrated into life. I'm having a good time in the process. I'm honoring myself. I'm kind to myself. So that whole thing about cultivating humor and perspective is really important as Capricorn. But they do have wicked senses of humor, which I think is fabulous with Capricorns. That dry sense or sort of a gallows humor can be very fun. Okay. Another thing for Capricorn is about commitment. Now, Capricornian is very much about commitments. And then the problem becomes, okay, how do you know when to cut the cord with commitments? Because Capricorn is not one to be afraid of those commitments. And, you know, say you have a job that is working you too hard, paying you too little, a relationship that's giving you too little. That is not, because Capricorns are pretty famous for, because it is such a sign of leadership, getting into situations where there's a vast power difference. You know, getting in a relationship with someone who never works, and you're working all the time, and this person doesn't know how to manage money, and you're paying off their bills. You know, you take on a parental role in a romantic relationship sometimes. Or same with a job, is that you're, you know, at the bottom of the totem pole financially at the job, but you're running everything and people give you more and more responsibility and you just do it instead of saying, hey, wait a second, you know. So the commitment could be more of a commitment to yourself and honoring yourself and saying, I deserve to have as much energy coming back to me as I do that I'm giving out. And that has to do with self-esteem. So Capricorns can sometimes struggle with that. And this comes from the idea that of the idea of the mountain. When you think of Capricorn, the animal, you know, the symbol of Capricorn is the mountain goat. He's going up that mountain, and the rocks are falling behind him, but he's going up, he's going up. He's going to make it to the top. But there's the idea of Capricorn can see itself always at the bottom of the mountain, kind of covered in rubble and being the, you know, just the bottom of the heap person. And a lot of times this is what motivates Capricorn people to keep going, you know, that they don't see how great they are, so they keep trying, and then they become super successful because they're always trying and they're never resting on their laurels. But also they're driving themselves crazy, right? So how do you say, okay, I'm going to have clear assessment of myself and know that I deserve better treatment at work. I might not be the best worker in the world. I might not be the most, you know, beautiful-looking person who's the most loving in the world, but you still deserve respect in a relationship. You don't have to be the best to get to deserve good. So there's that extreme part of Capricorn. Well, if I'm not the best, then I just am fine with this getting paid you know, hardly anything, something like this, or I'm fine with this relationship. So the commitment to the self to see an honest assessment, to then be able to leave that relationship or leave that job and say, too bad, I've been here this many years, I'm going to make a change, or to challenge those other people who aren't drawing energy back to you. You want to have that sense of circulation with Capricorn, emotional circulation, financial circulation. You know, and the darker part of Capricorn is really, you know, the ambitious person who takes advantage and gets more than their share, and the greedy, you know, miser. But spiritually, you often get people in the opposite. Like, you end up emotionally bankrupt because you don't want to ask for it back. So this balance of being able to say, I do deserve the proper financial reward for my job. And I don't have to have things be so hard in a relationship and struggle emotionally or whatnot. So to have, again, that sense of balance and deserving good, you know, and that you're not going to become this miser or this shrew of a person asking for attention in a relationship. And if you feel that way, you're in the wrong relationship. You're in the wrong job. So the sense of loyalty needs to be placed with your own soul about what you do deserve. And you do deserve, probably deserve more than you think you do as a Capricorn. You're not at the bottom of the heap. You're not, you know, you need to be seeing yourself as somebody at the top of that mountain, deserving love, deserving good job, all that kind of thing. Now, this idea about being at the top of the mountain is a spiritual process here. And let me just use a Christian analogy, because, you know, let's say Jesus is a spiritual master. When there's a, I don't know how to say this without offending people, part of the Bible that Jesus goes with three disciples and goes to the top of the mountain. The disciples are trying to go up the mountain or whatever they're doing, and they see him transfigured. It's called the Transfiguration of Christ. And when I was studying Eastern Orthodoxy, and I am Greek, so I love icons, I got an icon of the Transfiguration of Christ, and he's on the top of the mountain, and he's like, it's like all this, you know, it's light coming off of him, and he's showing his disciples his highest consciousness, his God self. And the three disciples are like at the bottom of the mountain, and they're being blown back by the energy. One of them, the shoes are coming off, the little sandals are flying. It's like, pow, you know, this energy of the soul is just wow. And so there's this part of Capricorn that is you as a Capricorn recognizing your God self, being at the top of that mountain and saying, this is me, my divine energy is here. And not that you're better than everybody else, but that everyone deserves to have their God self respected. You know, and that's a powerful energy that cannot be denied, and you have it in you. And I think Capricorns often are the ones that least recognize their God energy. But it can be interesting if you're struggling with self-esteem to maybe meditate, you know, and if you're not a Christian person, it's still, you know, some people respect all religions, ponder other images. You might have a Buddha in your house and not be a Buddhist, you know, it's just a sort of common thing. You go to TJ Maxx, now there's Buddhas everywhere, and you bring them in and say, oh, this is a nice piece of art. But to be able to look at one of those icons of the Transfiguration and say, you know, this is an image of my soul at its highest, and I deserve respect. You know, I am a human who's evolving more and more into a godness each day, and I deserve people to treat me that way, because you treat people that way as a Capricorn, more than likely. You honor people's soul. So that can be an interesting meditation practice to look at that. And knowing for yourself too, you know, I am God, slowly evolving into being aware that I'm God, you know, kind of the end result of everything. So being able to ponder that is intriguing. Now, another aspect of Capricorn from the esoteric perspective, and this is from the book Esoteric Astrology, is that Capricorn rules the knees, that is part of the knees and joints of the body, and the bones is what Capricorn represents in physically in the body. So she's saying here, Alice Bailey in her book Esoteric Astrology is saying, Capricorn rules the knees, and this is symbolically true. For only when the Capricorn subject learns to kneel in all humility and with his knees upon the rocky mountaintop offers his heart and life to the soul and to human service, then this is when he can go through the door of spiritual growth completely. And so this is something that I think as a Capricorn, you do generally feel humble. If you're already on a spiritual path, you already feel surrendered. And to know that, and I would like to say this more about surrendering to that force of evolution, that you're on your knees surrendering to that force, not surrendering to a person, not being subservient to the person or the job, or to your lower self that poops on you, but surrendering to that higher process. And kind of going in that river of energy that brings you to more of this God light, which isn't your ego saying, I have God light. It's just this force blossoming in you. And surrendering to that is a lot about what Capricorn is about. And then this idea that you're offering yourself to human service. This is, one of those things on the lower level where you get in these, you know, difficult relationships or feel like, you know, you're the third wheel of, situations with friends or something like that can happen. How are you in service while you're also in your power is really intriguing. And the book, that another Alice Bailey book that she wrote about astrology is called The 12 Labors of Hercules, which I've discussed before. And what she does is she takes the myths of Hercules, who had 12 labors, and it's kind of seen as, or it's definitely seen as, the soul moving through each astrology sign and mastering the spiritual lesson of each sign and then achieving ultimate mastery over humanness and reaching enlightenment. And the idea, the labor for Capricorn, is Hercules going into Hades and saving Prometheus, who was the guy that took fire from the gods and brought it to humanity, and of course helped humanity a whole lot doing that, but then he was punished and in Hades and had his suffering thing with the whatever was going on. The eagle was eating its liver every day. It would grow back, and then the eagle would come and eat the liver again, which doesn't sound like fun. So Hercules, in this labor, he goes into the underworld, which wasn't really hell in the Greeks, but it was obviously a place of suffering, and frees Prometheus. But in so doing, he has to go by Cerberus, who's a three-headed dog who guards the underworld, and he has to kill the dog. So he does this, of course, because he's Hercules. But the idea of that spiritual imagery is that Capricorn is working, is already attaining its oneness with the universe, but still wants to help people who are suffering and to slay that lower self, that Cerberus represents the part of ourselves, you know, rah, 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 that's barking negativity and trying to scare you off your deeper path and intimidate you, which, you know, your lower voices that tear you down, and to be able to conquer those voices within yourself and also for others. So there's a sense, too, of always helping others, but doing it from, again, your own sense of strength rather than, again, trying to earn someone's approval or dealing with their cucka. You know, this idea, too, that he's killing that three-headed dog, that you do not tolerate people's negativity towards you. It's like, if you want me to help you, you need to also be in your higher self or move more toward it and not accept a lot of, crap from people, a lot of what that spiritual imagery is trying to say. So it can be wonderful to read that chapter in that book if you are a Capricorn and see that. I'm going to take a little break now and just mention that I am Aluna Michaels, and my website is alunamichaels.com. I'll give you my phone number if you'd like to have a session. It's 248-583-1663. Or you can contact me through my website. I also have a little book called The Spiritual Gifts of the 12 Astrological Signs that's on my website. It's also on Amazon Kindle. And I go through some of these things, not as much depth, but spiritual steps for each sign to take that can help you on your path. So this will be my final show for now. So if you do want to get in touch with me, please contact me through my website. Okay, so let's see. I want to also talk some about Saturn. Let's see if I can. Okay. Let's just move on to talk about Saturn. I may go back into Capricorn for a moment, but okay, Saturn. There's a lot to say about Saturn. So here's the thing. Saturn is not the final planet in our solar system. Right now we believe Pluto is, and some people argue is Pluto a planet or not. It's like, hey, we're calling it a planet for simplicity. There are probably other planets beyond Pluto we don't know about yet. But for a long time, Saturn was seen as the final planet because it is the final planet we can see with the naked eye and without telescopes and different things. So it is visible, although teeny weeny. But, even Hindu astrology or Vedic astrology, Indian, Eastern astrology sees, they don't recognize the trans-Saturnian planets of Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. They stick with what they call the classical planets, Saturn. You know, that's they don't even integrate the others. But even in Western astrology, I mean, Saturn is intense. Again, it's not the most powerful planet in the sense of its force, because you get these outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto have more of a pull on you or force. But Saturn is the planet of time. It's the planet of karma. It's the planet of life lessons. And, it gets this reputation for being dour. People, when I do astrology sessions, Saturn transit, which is a temporary energy from Saturn, or people have Saturn in their chart, it's kind of intense. It definitely shows where the soul wants to grow the most. So we all have Saturn in our chart, even if we're not specifically Saturn-y people or Capricorns, we're dealing with Saturn. We're all also having Saturn transit our charts, temporarily move through our charts. And one of the big things, I'm going to cough here, is what's called the Saturn return, which happens when you are, Saturn has a 28 3/4 year orbit. So when Saturn comes back to that point of your chart, like say your Saturn is 1 degree of Sagittarius, well, when Saturn makes that about 29 years later, comes back to 1 degree of Sagittarius, you're having your Saturn return. And that is a time of kind of reckoning. One of the gentlest ways to think about Saturn returns or a Saturn transit in general is, and even to look at Saturn in your chart, is it's about sorting. You know, it's like, what do I want to take forward with me? What works and what doesn't? You're evaluating. You're taking stock, taking an inventory. Like if you're in a 12-step program, you take an inventory. Let's say that fourth step. A lot of people know about the AA and Al-Anon and things like this. In your fourth step, you evaluate, a fearless moral inventory. Well, this is Saturn. And it's a Saturn return, or it's Saturn working with one of your planets. And it's not beating yourself up. It's just saying what works, what doesn't. You know, and what do I need to throw out and minimize, and what do I need to maximize? Because, boy, I have a strength that isn't quite at its maximum, or maybe it is at its maximum. You say, terrific. But that's what Saturn's about. It's not about making you feel terrible, but it is about narrowing. Saturn is very contractive. When we look at Jupiter, the planet that precedes it, Jupiter connected with Sagittarius, is very expansive. It's very gaseous. Saturn, it has the icy rings around it. You know, it's limited. So it's focused. So sometimes people can feel depressed when they're dealing with Saturn on a temporary basis, or even when they have Saturn prominent in their chart, they tend to be somewhat depressive because they're focused in. If you think of it, maybe to transform the idea of depression, and somewhat this is what depression is you're overly focused on something. You're overly focused on the negative things, or your brain is limited and focused in on certain brain chemistry that doesn't make you happy. You know, it's just one narrow window of biochemistry, or it's one narrow window of thought, but it's focused for some reason. One of those can be karmic pieces. And being able to work with forgiveness, again, I mentioned it for Capricorn, so huge for Saturn people or Saturn transits. I want to give you a wonderful resource called The 7 Steps for Successful Life Transitions. It's by Jane Elizabeth Hart, and you can learn about it on centerforenlightenment.org, which is cfenlightenment.org, and she's got a book called The Spiritual Power Tools that goes through this process. There's some CDs of, I think, 2 different CDs. One is The 7 Steps in general. One is The 7 Steps for Creating a New You. And part of what she does in this process is looking at the would have, could have, should have, all these things that you can get caught in, especially as a Saturn-y person, the over-evaluation that doesn't stop, that then moves into discouragement and depression and anger, whatever, and then moving toward forgiveness and seeing where, if you hang on to these limited beliefs that are being created, how will that impact your future? How will you limit yourself? And to work as a Saturn person or someone having a Saturn transit to say, you know, I recognize the importance of this in my life. I have to release the stuck how I wish it could have been to be able to move into bigger future possibilities and to forgive. And usually for Saturn people, or even having a Saturn transit, it's forgiving yourself for your own limitations and allowing yourself to move into a piece of karma that has more possibilities and is less limited, maybe not completely unlimited, but far less limited. You get out of your box and into a bigger box that feels pretty vast when you first get into it, and then you evolve, and then that box needs to go, and you go in a bigger box. So this idea that Saturn is always trying to, let's say, check if you're ready for that next box. You want to have learned all the lessons of that one area, and it will start to feel very limiting and depressing when you are outgrowing that piece of karma, that part of your life. And to say, this isn't about doom and gloom, end of the road. It's about saying, okay, let's kind of like you get to the end of a chapter in, when you're in grade school or high school or whatever, and you have a chapter review, you know, and you want to make sure you know all the material in that chapter before you add more in. So Saturn's trying to say, do you have it all together before you go to the next chapter? And but on some level, you know, you're integrating the wisdom from that chapter of your life, but you want to let go of the limiting beliefs, the negativity, and the stuff that's going to hold you back to, you know, create, let's say, negative karma, whatever. If you had a challenging relationship, and then you have, you know, all relationships are bad, it's like, and you go forward and want love, and it's like, what are you going to find? Probably someone who fits the script of relationships are bad. So you got to integrate the wisdom of, well, I completed this karma, but I am ready for bigger and better things, and I deserve bigger and better things. So that's the idea of Saturn transits. I'm so sorry, my cell phone is working here. And so that's something that you need to think about, that Saturn isn't trying to make you miserable. It's trying to make sure you've checked all the boxes and you're letting go of the parts you don't like, or that you will create a false belief system that limits. And it can seem like a very real belief system because it happened. And it's like, all right, you know, but we're moving on. So that's really what Saturn transits are trying to make you do. But in the process, it can feel limiting because you're looking at the stuff that didn't work very well. Why didn't it work? What did I learn from this? How do I need to let go of this? How do I integrate the lesson but let go of the pain? So that's the balance of Saturn transits and also having Saturn in your chart. And then when we look at karma, that's another thing. If you do believe in karma from past lives, and not in the sense like, let's say, with a difficult relationship, like, you know, I deserved it because I did things in a past life to this person, or, you know, when they were in another life. But the idea of Saturn is you're balancing the books. You're paying off debts. You know, if you go out and spend all the money, this money at the mall on your credit card, the next month the credit card says, you know, give us the money. You know, and it's like, who are these people that made my money? I work hard. Oh, yeah, I went to the mall, and I took stuff from a store for free, basically. And now the credit card company is saying, you need to pay us because we, you know, that was the agreement. So it's not like the credit card company's mean, and they're bothering me, telling me to pay. It's like, this is a small form of karma. So to be able to go into the relationship And usually by the time you are aware this is no good, you're coming to the end of that karmic piece and say, okay, you know, to not be a victim to it and not to the sense that, like, I deserve to be treated like poo, but, you know, this person, I love them, and they treated me bad. Well, if that's like paying off the credit card, you're gone. You've paid it back. You stayed with them for 2 years. They didn't treat you right. Well, maybe in a past life, you treated them wrong for 20 years, and they came back and said, you know, I'm going to treat you bad for 2 years and then, you know, leave you. Thank you, God. The karma got done. It got done. And now all the money I make, all the love I have is for me. You know, I don't have to have it drained off. I can give it to someone who really honors me. So this idea that with the credit card, made $1,000 that month, the credit card wants $500, it's like, hey, you took my money. Like, this person took my love. This person took my trust. Well, the next paycheck, if you're not using the credit card, you don't have to pay off a karmic debt, now you've got $1,500. And boy, oh boy, that feels like you're rich. But if you keep saying, like, they took $500 from me, then you feel poor somehow. I could have $2,000. I only have $1,500. You know, so this idea that, okay, I needed to give that to balance that love karma. And now the next relationship you have feels so rich instead of, oh, they're going to do it. You know, but if you can totally release that, that's that idea of karma and not that you deserve this crap. It's like, okay, I balanced that out, moving on. You know, and to be able to, that seven-step process can really help with that. And of course, you want to honor your grief, and that's a part of that seven-step process, but to not get stuck in it, you know, and not say, this is always going to happen to me because I had this experience, you know. So Saturn is trying to help you go beyond that karma. Let's see. The other thing to say about karma is, if you're even listening to this, you have good spiritual karma. Not like I'm so great, but anybody who listens to these kind of shows, who's on a spiritual path, you have accrued karma from past lives. I was joking about the monk, the Tibetan monk listening to this, you know, listening to our blog talk radio. Well, let's say 1,000 years ago, you were the monk in that monastery, and you meditated your little butt off, and you got really spiritual, and then you were the Carmelite nun, and then you were the Florence Nightingale helping the guys on the battlefield and being very selfless, and you're creating all this karma, 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 good karma. And now you come into this life, and you're able to be the mother or be the worker and still evolve spiritually, and to sit down and meditate and, oh, have this fabulous experience. This is also Saturn. Saturn keeps the records and says, hey, this wonderful soul meditated, gave up, you know, family, never saw their family again and went into the hills of Tibet, was a Carmelite nun and put up all these people she couldn't stand, but she's just still trying, God, help me live with this community. You know, there was a lot of self-sacrifice and a lot of spiritual time went into developing your intuition. So to say Saturn is good karma, you know, good karma in the sense that you get a job, people treat you well, and you have a good relationship, this is karma too. But the spiritual karma to say, I'm ready to grow as a soul and to be taking more responsibility for my soul's evolution. And this idea of responsibility is a word I haven't even said related to Capricorn and Saturn. But that's where you get into the balance of being able to play and have discipline and to have responsibility, but also to be joyous, you know. So maybe taking spiritual growth as a joyous, taking responsibility for your soul in a joyous way. I don't have to go to the priest and say, what does God want me to do? I mean, you still have spiritual advisors and all this. You want to. You don't want to be some sort of, you know, rogue person. But it's, you know, you can ask, you can get your own intuition, bounce it off someone else you trust, take it back to yourself still, you know, you're intuiting your guidance, your soul. So this is also having accrued that good karma to be able to be someone who can do that, someone who even wants to do that, you know, someone who finds spiritual growth interesting rather than going to the bar and drinking or whatever you could do for the rest of your life, you know, or just sitting playing video games and never having a friend or something. It's like, I mean, there's a lot of ways people just go through life. Not that video games are bad or going to a bar is bad, but, you know, that you want to put energy toward going to that yoga class, reading spiritual books, finding out about your soul through esoteric astrology, you know, meditating on the weekends, whatever. So going to workshops. This is your soul driving you. This is your Saturn pushing you in a good way, you know, toward good stuff. So it's not all bad stuff. So I like to give Saturn somewhat of, people get, oh God, and here comes Saturn. Okay, let me see what else I can say about this. I wanted to, okay. Okay, let's talk about this with Saturn, the planet of opportunity. Written down here that Alice Bailey says, Saturn is the planet of discipleship and opportunity. It offers the choice to destroy that which holds back the free expression of the soul. Wow. And that's a real interesting sentence, that Saturn offers the choice to destroy what holds back free expression of the soul. And that idea of the choice is also that sense of having accrued good karma from past lives, that you've been meditating spiritually, you've been training. I'm thinking of Shaolin monks, you know, and they train to do all this stuff where they break, you know, I went to see them and they break the wood and they do all these fantastic things with their power, but it's also that they're blending it with chi and they go, ha, you know, and they hit the thing just like the karate chop stuff, you know, see them go through the cinder blocks or whatnot. But the idea that the Shaolin monks, let's say, are building spiritual power to do that on a physical level, chopping the block, let's say, that is the representation that I can break my karma. I can destroy the bad, you know, the karmic piece that holds me back. I can challenge it. I can end it. I can choose to do it. And so the fact that if you think of being in a difficult situation, let's say you're having a Saturn transit or you're a Saturn person, you're in a difficult relationship, that your soul chose to go in there and complete that karma, you know, and you can complete it. You can say, I'm done with this, walk away, release that peace that drew you to those kind of relationships and say, I'm done with these types of relationships and I'm done with this person. I'm letting go of all of this. You know, that you can choose to destroy that peace that was drawn into that relationship to pay back the karma. Also, you can choose to destroy voices within yourself that pull you down. You know, if you have a body image issue, you tell yourself you're fat all the time, whether you're overweight or not, who needs to hear that? You know, you want to say, maybe if you are overweight, I think I'd like to start eating better. And just go do it. You don't have to be like, you fat jerk, you need to go on a diet. It's like, I can choose to destroy what's holding my soul back. If my soul wants to learn to have health in a culture that has so much opulence of food that you could go down and eat Godiva chocolates all day long if you wanted to in our culture. But is that good for my body? You know, no, my soul came to learn health. So I grew up in a house where I didn't have good nutrition, and I ate sweets, and now I nurture myself all the time eating poor food, and I drive by McDonald's and whatever and get, you know, yucky food. So I have the choice to destroy something that's holding me back. My soul wants to learn about nutrition. My soul wants to learn about honoring the body temple. And I can choose to destroy the part that's not learning that, that wants to keep eating crappy. So this is Saturn, is the choice to destroy the limitation. And that's that idea. We go back to Hercules. Well, you know, killing, I don't know, I do think of killing animals, but we're saying this is a representation of a demon, Cerberus, the three-headed dog. And, you know, to be able to take down all those voices, all the way they come at you, and you can free yourself from all of that negativity, you know, setting your mind to it and doing it and accomplishing it. Saturn will help you with that. Saturn's not just the mean guy who comes and makes you unhappy every 7 years or however you want to look at your Saturn's transits. And if you have Saturn in your chart, some people say, oh, God, I'll never get married. Saturn's in my seventh house, or Saturn does this, or I'll never be happy, I'll never make money. Saturn does this. Saturn's there to help you choose to destroy that karmic piece about where it is in your chart. So never forget that. It's not there to bum you out for your whole life and go, oh, crap, Here it is. Now, that's an old way of looking at astrology. You can totally do your astrology that way. I don't want to do that. But, you know, 500 years ago, we probably did. Yeah, you know, even 50 years ago, the way they did astrology. And you may look at old stuff on the internet. And I get a lot of clients call me with that. Oh, God, I'll never get married. I have Saturn in my fifth house, and it's on my Venus. It squares my Venus. Well, that's an old way to look at it. Or you could say, my soul wants to kick ass and take down this negative karma about relationships that I've accrued, and I want to choose to destroy this karmic piece. Learn self-love. That would be a big thing if you got Saturn and Venus together, because you're attracting people who don't treat you right because you don't even care about yourself, you know? So this is, could be a starting point, self-love. How do I not care for myself? How do I not hold myself in high esteem? What's the negative voices I give myself? You know, this kind of thing. And so this is where Saturn is trying to free you from your own handcuffs. It's not trying to throw you in prison, especially at this point of your spiritual growth. If you're someone listening to some show like this or someone like me talking, you're ready for that. You know, you don't have to be a victim to your bad karma. So that's another way to look at Saturn. Okay, let's see. I'll tell you again who I am. My name is Aluna Michaels. I am an esoteric astrologer, and my website is alunamichaels.com. My phone number is 248-583-1663. And again, you might really like my book that's on my website, The Spiritual Gifts of 12 Astrological Signs. My website also has horoscopes on there for the month. You can look at your own sign, some more depth. You can listen to this. This will be on my website if you want. I can put that there. But you can also listen to your another video I have about your sign. Okay, I want to talk about some famous Capricorns right now and look at how their life was shaped by Saturn or Capricorn. Let's take the first person I want to do is Muhammad Ali, who's pretty interesting Capricorn. And, I mean, whether or not you don't like boxing, that's a whole other thing. But if you do think about, let's take Muhammad Ali as a soul, that to, first of all, physically train that level. My father was a boxer, so I understand the training. And, you know, everybody's seen Rocky, right? Gets up at dawn, he's drinking the eggs, and he's running and punching the meat. And that's not a lot of fun. That's discipline. You know, but the idea, let's just say, of Rocky going up those steps in front of the in Philadelphia. Actually, I was so obsessed with Rocky growing up. I was about 10. I made my mother take me to Philadelphia. We had some relatives and actually went up those stairs. I made her go up too. And it is a long way up. I mean, wow, you know. So, but this idea of going up to the top, you know, this training, this is, if you think of a Capricorn like Muhammad Ali being a boxer, that training you do, I mean, a lot of boxing. I mean, when you do a boxing match, you're barely in the ring. You know, your training is all alone usually, or it's in this grungy place, and you work, and you find your own weaknesses, you overcome them, and, you know, it's a lot of discipline. So Muhammad Ali being Capricorn, discipline. So what's interesting with him, he also has his Saturn very high up in his chart. And when Saturn's the most one of the most elevated planets, it's also saying this is an important energy. And for him to say, okay, when he was in the Olympics, you know, he won the gold medal, and then he took a stand of not wanting to then fight in Vietnam, and he was stripped of his gold medal, and there was, you know, I think some dramatic, like throw it in the river or something, something dramatic. But there was all this stuff going about him then becoming a public figure about his values, you know, and even becoming a Muslim and fighting for his rights. So even more, like, you know, physically he learned to fight and discipline himself on a physical level. But then there was a spiritual challenge that he faced as a Capricorn, as a person with a lot of Saturn. So I think that's kind of interesting about having those obstacles. Now you probably think, oh God, then he got, you know, whatever he has, Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, or he doesn't have Alzheimer's, he's Parkinson's. But it's a part of his soul journey, and he has a lot of planets in the sixth house, so that could say the impact upon the boxing. And it's obviously not the easiest way for your body to go and your brain to have that experience. But this idea of being the idol for a generation, and really be beloved in a lot of ways, even after a lot of what he went through, to be a symbol for this resistance and standing up for his values, whether you liked his values or not. That's a very Capricorn, Saturn sort of thing, and to be able to endure stuff. And this is, again, I don't want to get into grimness about Capricorn, but when he, I think it was the Atlanta Olympics, when he ran with the last part of the Olympic torch and lit the torch, you know, that's a Capricorn. It's like, I mean, he could be, you know, oh God, I was so powerful and now I'm losing my strength with this disease. Like, no, hell no. He's going out and he's running and he's lighting that thing. Capricorn, the overcoming, you know, fabulous Capricorn. I just really do like him. Okay. Now I'm going to a Capricorn. You might say, what is she even talking about, this person? But I am from Detroit, and a Kid Rock is a rap rock guy, came out of Detroit, another Capricorn. What's really interesting about him, because you could say, oh God, he seems like he's just a drunk person or does whatever, you know. But what's so interesting to me about Capricorns is there's always some sense of, I don't say civic duty or, again, the service to humanity. So one of the stories with Kid Rock is that he had a baby when he was really young with this girl. And this is before he was famous and everything. He took full custody of that boy. And it's really interesting. Just, I remember finding that out about him when he started to get famous in the 90s. It was like, wow, he's a pretty young guy. You know, rap guy with his bad reputation, being a tough guy and, you know, party life and all this. But what's he doing? He's a Capricorn taking care of his son. You know, and he had full custody, I believe, of the kid. And so that's like, that was really honorable to me. I thought, that's a pretty interesting guy here. What's going on? And then when I did move to Detroit, I found out how much he was doing for the city. I mean, you know, he does a whole lot of stuff, giving money to the city, buying into corporations to keep them going, like corporations that are based in Detroit to, you know, kind of raise Detroit from the ashes, so to speak. And because he's very wealthy, obviously, but he's putting money into local businesses, you know, making Detroit inspiring again in his own way, trying to have that belief system that Detroit can be strong again. And so instead of, even though he probably lives in, I think he's got a place in Nashville, and he lives in LA, this and that, but Detroit's his home and he's giving money into the city and supporting it. So I think that's also very Capricorn. Capricorn also is, and Saturn is, that sense of history, you know, personal history and honoring the past history of the place you're born. So I thought that was very Capricorn values of him. So again, it can be very surprising when you look at him and think, oh my God, he just, whatever. Like, no, he's got an image, but he's doing some stuff here, you know, that is very true to the Capricorn that he is. Okay. Now, another person who's really intriguing, I was looking at Capricorns to talk about, is Robert E. Lee. Oh, my goodness. He's like the ultimate Capricorn or something. It's like, wow. He has his sun sign at 29 degrees of Capricorn, or he had. He's probably reincarnated a bunch since then. But let's talk about the 29th degree of things. I don't know if I've talked about that before. I may have. But that is the final degree of a sign, because we've got 30 degrees of each sign. There's 360 degrees in a circle, 12 signs, because 30 to each sign, but you start at 0 degrees. So the 29th degree is the final degree. And it's called the critical degree. It's the not critical like picking on you, but it's the people talk about the cusps, and I did mention this before, and when I'm in my first episode here, that the cusp is actually very strong, because that 29th degree is like, let's get it all in, you know. So you're born with the sun at 29 degrees of Capricorn. It's like, wow, I'm very Capricorn-y Capricorn, and what are these themes I'm going to work with in my life? And he also had a very strong Saturn in Scorpio, trining Pluto in Pisces. So there's a lot of societal energy there. Of course, he did a lot for society. And, you know, the tough thing with this, oh, Capricorn, talk about responsibility and duty and all this stuff. Well, you know, Robert E. Lee was Virginia, And he loved, loved, loved the state of Virginia. People were more into states back then, you know. It wasn't really a sense of the whole country, really. But so when, and there was a whole lot about whether Virginia, you know, would be with, you know, he was asked to be, does he want to fight for the Confederacy? And he loves Virginia, but he wasn't really into the slave cause and all this, and he was on the fence. And, you know, there was a lot of pressure on him. And I went to his house, which is actually at Arlington National Cemetery. And then we go into the room where he sat up all night to say, what am I going to do? Am I going to take this on? Because I don't really believe in this cause, but I believe in Virginia. I believe in my home. I'm a Capricorn, you know? And then to have to go be the head of something he didn't fully believe in this cause was just so Capricorn-y. And then what happened was that the government said, well, because we want you to feel guilty, we're going to bury all these boys that, you know, all the Union boys are going to be buried outside your window. So when you go to his house, what was his house is at Arlington National Cemetery. So that's how they, you know, the poor thing. So talk about a Capricorn carrying the burden. And he was so ethical and all this. And there's a lot of historians who say, how would the, you know, America be different if Robert E. Lee had been president instead of Grant? Because Grant was a drunk and had a lot of depression, a broken home, you know, it's you know, he was estranged from his kids, the wife left him, and he just, you know, was elected because he happened to be the person who was the general of the United States Army. But, you know, if Lee had been president in any way, how would the Reconstruction have been different? He was such a fair person. He was so honorable. We wouldn't have maybe as much of a rift between the North and South as we still have some of that, you know. But, you know, because he was someone who really had strong values about his homeland, which he saw as Virginia, not necessarily these causes of slavery. And it was like, oh, God, what am I going to do? So I thought, what a very interesting Capricorn. And, you know, that's a pretty intense life. But, you know, Capricorns come in to do a lot of karma, to be strong. And so I thought, wow, he's a pretty interesting guy. But, you know, it's interesting the way history looks back on him, because you could say, you know, that was a terrible cause that the Confederate Army was doing, and slavery's horrible, and you know, the South was horrible at the time, and this was something that needed to be trounced, and Robert E. Lee. But it's like people always say, but he was a fabulous person. You know, he was a fabulous person in a very difficult situation, and he was faced with a terrible decision, and he was honorable all the time, and people respected him, and people still respect him in history. They don't see him as some monster, bloodthirsty monster who wanted to do all this stuff. It's like he was an honorable man. So that Capricorn coming through in a funny way, like you look at Kid Rock, if you don't like that kind of music and say, oh, this person and the drunk and this, it's like, but look who he really is. And with Lee, it's a similar situation, that the integrity has carried him through historically to look at that. So again, that's being a Capricorn. That's Saturn, is that sense of integrity and unwavering from your values and standing true to your soul and finding how to connect with your soul through meditation, through knowing what's important to you, through defeating your lower self and your lower thinking. So that is the lesson of Capricorn and Saturn. So again, I will give you some, I'm going to take a little water here.
Hi, Aluna.
Hi,
Aluna.
Hi.
I'm wondering, and this is Penny, the owner of Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, if I could do your quote for you.
Oh, could I just, I would like to give my information one last time, that my website is alunamichaels.com. 248-583-1663 is my phone number, and I can do personal sessions for you, or you can also see more information on my website about esoteric astrology. And thanks, Penny. Go ahead.
Great. You've been listening to Spiritual Astrology for Your Soul with Aluna Michaels. Aluna is a second-generation astrologer and soul evolutionist practitioner, and she also holds a master's in spiritual counseling. She's also the number one writer for the Body, Mind, Spirit Guide magazine, and every month she does an astrology for each of the signs. So the best way to connect with her is at alunamichaels.com. When you go to her website, there's an ebook. You could actually be reading her ebook today to find out what 2015 holds for you. Go over to her site and check that out. You can read your astrological sign and the sign of your family and friends and maybe your mate, if that's what you want to do. We rely on her to give us a sense of astrology from a soul level. There are very few people in the field that have raised themselves and their art of, you know, guiding humanity through astrology as Aluna Michaels. So we recommend that you go over to her site, alunamichaels.com. You can also connect with her on Facebook. Please do, and like her page there. And thank you so much for listening to Aluna Michaels and Body, Mind, Spirit Radio.
Thank you, Penny. That's wonderful. I forgot to say all that great stuff about myself.
I touched mine. <mine. laughs>
I do have Capricorn in my chart. I forgot. Thank you so much.
I'm Capricorn, so I really appreciate today's show. And everybody can listen to archives at bodymindspiritradio.com. Thank you for joining us. Aluna, thank you for your dedicated, excellent work. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Penny. Thank you for all you do for us as well.
It's my pleasure. And so until next time, because Aluna will still be a guest at Body, Mind, Spirit Radio whenever we can steal her away from her important work. Stay tuned for the next time we have her with us, and have a blessed 2015. Goodbye, everyone, until next time.